So we've got to grow in certain aspects. And how come he doesn't tell us about everything? Well, we've heard in part. We heard from a man, you know. When we prophesy in part, we know in part. Well, I'll tell you, there is somebody who's got all the parts. His name's Holy Spirit. And he's the one who's supposed to guide you into all truth, right? So there's something for us to do. And I'm going to talk about that in just a second. Go ahead and go to the next slide. So we're learning to occupy all that we're called to be. And by the way, if God called you to something, then he makes provision for whatever he's called you to. Okay? So there's provision for you and I to be able to step in and lay hold of that thing which he called us to. He always makes provision for what he called you to so you can possess it. And even though you feel like there are times where you're going through trials, look, that trial is more precious than gold to God. That trial of what's happening, the shaping of your soul, the shaping of what happened with David, what happened with Joseph, what happened with Abraham when he got that word, that trial is so precious to God, it's more precious than gold, because he sees that through that, the face of his son is beginning to shine. And he's seeing the reflection of his son in your character. And to him, that's precious. Amen? Okay, let's go to the next one. So that's invitation. Now, here's another principle that's really important. So you need to remember God's invited you into process, and that means there's going to be some things that are going to be changing in your life, and there's going to be testing and refining. And then here's the next important part when you get a prophetic word is dialogue. See, we've got to learn to enter into dialogue with the Lord about those things that he's declared over us. And that's what I wanted to mention to you about. There's somebody who knows all the parts. His name's Holy Spirit. Okay, so we need to begin to engage in a dialogue with Holy Spirit so that he begins to show us more and more. And that dialogue should include prayer. It should include discussion with God. It should include confessing our agreement. And sometimes it needs to be repentance, right? Because as we go through the process of change, we find out, you know what? My heart doesn't really line up with that thing that you said. I'm not fully convinced. You've called me to, you know, love on orphans or something. I hate bratty kids and that got snotty noses, you know. So there's something in us that's got to be broken, you know. So there's some repentance that sometimes needs to happen in us. But all of that I just call dialogue with God. You've got to begin to dialogue with him. And one of the saddest things I think I see happen in the body, just in general, is they get a prophetic word and this is what they do with it. Oh, that's really cool. And they got it in this little notebook. Goes on the shelf. And they never talk to the Lord about that word that they got. That is sad. Because, one, God gave you that so that it was a doorway for you to begin to dialogue with him so that you could understand his heart even more. And he wants to reveal more to you. He didn't give you the whole thing at first because what? He's drawing you out to himself. And he uses the prophetic to do that. That's part of the heart of prophecy, is to draw you to God. One of the purposes of prophecy, and this is, I'm going to give this to you free. There's no charge for this one. Okay. One of the purposes of prophecy is to redeem God with man. When we're in a place of declaring prophetic things, we're declaring a place where God can meet with man. And they can become one together. Amen. And that's the whole reason why you've got a prophetic word, because God is interested in getting closer to you. Yeah. But when you take that word and you put it on the shelf and you stick it in the back, a notebook that you don't even look at, you just eliminated a doorway that God created, like said, hey, no, this is a place I want to begin to fellowship with you. And I'm going to introduce you to myself as you begin to talk with me and dialogue with me about this thing. And so one of the things that I do, and I'm confessing I need to even do it more myself, is I'll take words that I get, and I'll just, real simple, I'll just go before, Lord, you said this. Back many years ago, Lord, you said that my children would be known, and you would cause them actually to be famous. Father, you said that to me. I didn't ask you to say that, but you said that to me, Lord. I haven't seen that happen yet. And, I begin to talk to him about that. and many other things. Lord, you said I would speak to thousands. God, you told me, you reminded me over, you know, several times. You had so many people come up and tell me this. Lord, you said this to me. And Father, I'm asking you to bring that thing to pass. Do your refining inside of me. And I just began to dialogue with him and talk to him and listen to what he has to say about it as I'm dialoguing with him. And there's something dynamic that begins to happen when you begin to do that. And here's the whole point of the dialogue. It's because God is wanting to bring us into intimacy with him. The purpose of that prophetic word is to bring you closer to him. So don't miss it. That's the greatest thing that you get out of a prophetic word. Being an evangelist that can speak to millions, But I get God. I get God. That's bigger. I get intimacy with him. That's greater. That's far greater. And that's the real treasure that you get when you begin to press in. Go ahead and hit the next slide. So let me tell you about a little story in the scripture, Daniel chapter 9. Daniel, he was seeking the Lord, and he came across a word in Jeremiah. And I'm not going to read the whole passage to you because it would take too much time. But he came across this passage, and as he was reading it, he began to realize that God had a word for Israel. And that word was that after the time of 70 years, I was going to bring you back into the land. And I'm going to, you know, restore Israel back into its promised land and take you out of Egypt where you've been in bondage. Now, Daniel came across that word. And he could have done a few different things. And when I describe some of these few different things, this is what some of the church is doing. Okay. So I come across that word. This is what he could have done. Well, that's interesting. Let's see what happens. Oh, I'm going to get my popcorn out and see what God does. People are doing that in the church. Or they could have said this. I don't know. It's been about 70 years. I don't see nothing happening. So they missed that one. Put it back on the shelf. Or he could do this. He could begin to take that word and begin to ponder in his heart and begin to pray and get after seeking God. Amen. And that's what he did. So Daniel took that word and he began to talk to the Lord about it. When you read through Daniel chapter 9, that's what he's doing. He's just talking to God about that word that was given. And then he said, you know what, God? We're not agreeing with this. Look at us right now. And he identified with Israel and he said, God, would you have mercy upon us because we've turned away from you. We've forsaken your word. We've counted you as nothing. I mean, he just kind of goes on and he's praying and he's repenting and he's crying out to God. God, would you have mercy? God, would you please help me? Because Lord, I don't see this happening. And God, we don't want to miss it. That's called desperation.
Amen. That's right.
Are you desperate for that word to come to pass in your life yet? Let me encourage you. Get that way. Get that way about it. Take the words that he's given you. Begin to talk to him. God, I don't see this happening. I don't understand. Father, maybe there's something in me that I've not adjusted to. Lord, would you have your way with me? Would you please forgive me? And he began to just pray. He was confessing. He was repenting. He was crying. He was reminding. It was beautiful. Go back and read Daniel chapter 9. Okay? And then, as he was doing that, an angel was sent. Come on. Come on. As he was praying and crying and dialogue and talking, the heavens began to shift. Things started adjusting. Things started happening, coming to pass. You know, I believe if Daniel didn't do this, I don't think Nehemiah would have done what he did. I don't think Ezra would have done what he did. I think that actually because of Daniel's prayer, he caused that whole situation to get stirred up and things began to shift. And move. And that word, which was dead, came alive. You see? Do we have any dead words in here? Come on. We need to get them to come alive. Amen. Right? Well, how do you do it? You got to get serious with God and begin to talk to him. Because otherwise, they just sit on a shelf. That's not where we want them. So he began to pray and cry and tug out. And then an angel was dispatched and said, Daniel, for the thing that when you set your heart to seek the Lord, the answer came. And I sent my angel Gabriel out to talk to you. So I just want to say this. When you begin to pray, you begin to seek him, whatever. Don't get discouraged because you don't see something happen right there. Actually, I think the answer has already been determined to be sent out at that point in time when you get serious about it. But sometimes there's things going on in the background that you don't know that's getting adjusted and dealt with. And then, you know, so it was just a few weeks later after he began to set his face to seek the Lord. Then God sent the angel got there. He said, well, yeah, I've been warring in the heavenlies. I've been, you know, something going on in the background, you know. But when he said, but I want you to know this, Daniel, that when you set your heart to seek the Lord, that's when the word, that's when the answer came. Yes. Isn't that cool? Amen. I was praying. I was talking to the Lord about that word. I was telling you just a moment ago about my children being known. And I had let that word sit on the shelf for a while because I didn't quite know what to do with it. I'm not sure what to do. I don't know. Okay, let's take them down to the TV station, honey. Let's put them on the or something. I don't know what to do with it. So I just began to pray after, you know, several years. And I just started praying about it. And then in the week that I began to pray, things shifted that week. My daughter from, she lives in Australia right now. She got a word from somebody that I think knew of her but didn't really know her. But in that week that I prayed about you being, on my children being known, she got a prophetic word from another man saying, I just want to say something to you. I don't know you, but I saw that you're going to be well known in this country. And God's going to take you and he's going to cause, you know, you to be put in a place of, you know, attracting people to the Lord and things like that. And it was in the week that I began to pray is what I wanted to emphasize to you. In the same week, my daughter, who was living in Oklahoma at the time, she got an award of being recognized as one of the best swim coaches in all of Oklahoma. And just God elevated her in that moment. And she had only been, I think, coaching there for like a year. Isn't that amazing? So I just wanted to say, in the time when you begin to get serious about this and begin to seek, things actually begin to shift and begin to happen, okay? Go ahead and go to the next. So here's what happens when you begin to pray and talk with him. You begin to get some additional sensitivity going on in your heart. And you begin to recognize there's some opportunities. You begin to recognize there's some things going on. Because what's happened, you see, because you ignored it, you were dead to the things that were actually probably at your doorstep. And you didn't see it. But as you begin to talk to him, He makes you aware, he heightens your sensitivity, and he increases your recognition of possibilities because you were dead to them before. And as you begin to process things, you begin to see connections and you see gaps getting filled. And the next thing is you begin to develop history with God. And then you begin to become somebody known as, hey, you're the one who dialogues with God. Would you tell me about that? How does that happen? And then you become a counselor and you develop a relationship and history with him. Isn't that cool? Yeah. Let's go to the next slide. And here's the last principle I want to talk about, that we have to embrace what God has declared. We have to embrace and we have to fight for it. We can't just, again, these kind of all mesh together, but you have to embrace and fight for what God has declared. You can't just be passive about it. You've got to go after it. And look at what God said to Timothy through Paul. I put this charge before you, Timothy, my son, in keeping with the prophecies once spoken about you, in order that with such encouragement you might fight the good fight. Amen. With those prophecies that you have, you've got to war a good warfare. You've got to go out and lay hold of some land that God wants you to claim because he said he's given it to you. Now, are you interested? Are you interested in what he said? The key to this principle is we've got to leave the old for the new. You see, God's called you to a new place. But what happens is we get so comfortable with the old. Oh, it was so nice. I like it. It smells so good here. It's so comfortable. My flesh is happy. I got the garlic and the leeks going on. Oh, I'm happy. Uh-huh. And then, isn't that what the people of Israel were arguing with God about in the wilderness? Lord, what about them garlic and leeks? What about them bagels and lox, Lord? Get me back there. Cream cheese. All I got is this fluffy white angel food. You've got to leave the old to step into the new. Because if you don't, you're never going to possess that which he's declared. And by the way, because God began to talk to you about it, he's letting you know, hey, this is better than what you got. This is better. But I don't know if we always believe that. But you've got to embrace it. Like, that is mine. You've got to have a heart just like Jacob and, Joshua and Caleb. You have to have a heart like Joshua and Caleb. Man, give me that mountain. That's what Caleb said. Yeah. Give me that mountain. That's what I want. Y'all stay back with the garlics. I'm going after that mountain because God said I can have it. And that's mine. And you have to have that kind of an attitude. I'm going after that because that's what God said. Go ahead and go to the next one. And then we've got to do things like this, like in Habakkuk. We got to write down that vision. We got to make it plain. Right. Now, what do I mean by that? Well, some of you, it's important. Write it out. Right. Put in your own words. Drive around with it in your car. Stick in your pocket. Get it out at lunchtime when you're sitting around and read that thing. Yeah. And we get to talk to God about it. You got to make it plain. That way it's like if I come up to you and said, hey, what was that prophetic word you got? You should be able to spout it right off, right? Because it's so plain in you, you know what he said. That's when you know it's in front of you. But if you haven't done that, if you haven't made it plain, it's going to be hard for you to run. I mean, you'll be running, but you're going to ignore what God said. You'll be bumping into all kinds of things. So write it down, make it plain, so you can run as you're reading. Now, I want to give you a couple of examples. And then we're getting close to ministry time where I'm going to give you some prophetic words and you're going to be tested. Isn't this exciting? Yeah, I should sell better. I'm not a good salesman. See, I'm a bank examiner, so I don't know how to sell. I got to work on that. So, yeah, so you got amen. So here's a couple examples out of the Bible. You got Saul and you got Samuel. I like looking at opposites because they teach you things. Saul, when he got a word, he got the word from Samuel that was telling him about how he was going to become another man. And all these things are going to happen to you. You're going to go around the corner. You're going to see three guys with three loaves. And then you're going to see somebody playing something and harps or something. And then you're going to run into a company of prophets. And the Spirit of the Lord's going to come upon you. And you're going to become another man. That's what Samuel told him. And sure thing that happened. That's exactly what happened to Saul. But watch also what Samuel said to him about that time. And I give you the scripture reference. He basically said this to him. He said, and when that happens, do whatever is in your heart, for the Lord is with you. That's some pretty powerful, potent stuff. The Lord is with you at that point. But what did Saul do? Well, as you read the story, he went through that. He did prophesy. And then he went sulking and hid himself, and the next scene you see is he's hiding in the luggage because he doesn't want to take hold of that word that God said to him. Ooh, come on, don't hide in the luggage. Don't hide in the luggage. What's the luggage represent? It represents the old. It represents that you're not ready to change. It represents that you're not ready to embrace what God has said. That's what it represents. And that's what actually, when you look at Saul's life, that's what he kind of did all through his life. Isn't that sad? He had some pretty powerful words, but he let them kind of fall to the wayside. Now, was God's word true? Well, yeah. God was with him. God was saying, look, I'm with you. That's what Samuel declared to him. Do whatever in your heart, because the Lord is with you. And the Lord was with him. But it wasn't important to Saul.
Right.
He wasn't ready to step out of the old and step into the new that God was calling him to. And so, therefore, that word that God declared over him became null and void. And the Lord took it away from him and gave it to another man. Sobering? Sobering. It should be sobering. Because God has something big for you and I. But what did Samuel do? Let's leave a good taste in your mouth. So what did Samuel do? Well, Samuel, it says that every word that was spoken, that not a word of it fell to the ground. Not a word of it fell to the ground. Why? Because he was zealous for what God had to say. He wanted to embrace what God declared. And he did not want to let even one word fall to the ground. And so he stirred up himself to press in to whatever it was that God said, and he went after it. And that's a good example for us, because that's what we want to do, right? We want to change. We want to become that which God has declared. We want to lay hold of it. Now, we don't always know what is that supposed to look like, feel like, smell like, etc. But if you're on the journey and beginning to press into it, he'll show you. He'll reveal it to you. He'll make provision for you. He'll send people to talk to you. He'll give you men and women who will stand with you and pray with you. He'll give you a Pastor John. He'll give you a Pastor Ron to stand with you and say, no, brother, you can do this. We can do this together. We'll get there. But you've got to have that determination in your heart. Just like Pastor John was saying earlier, you've got to do something. You've got to do something. You can't just sit back on the by and by and just think, oh, it's all going to work out. You know, all passive like. Go to the next. Now, because I'm a business guy, I just thought I would throw this up there. You know, there's a lot of business literature that's out there that talks about embracing change, which I find is kind of cool. It's interesting. There's this one book. It's called Theory U, okay? And it's leading from the future as it emerges. In other words, it's looking at the future and then allowing your life to be affected by that future state, which has been, you know, that you want to go after. Well, that's actually what God's trying to say to us. We want that future thing that God has declared. We want it to change us, that all of our decisions we begin to do, we begin to line up with that vision, okay? One of the cool things about this book, but I'm not pumping the book. I'm just saying I'm not an author of it or nothing. I don't get any money from it. I just think it's kind of cool that there's all this literature out there about embracing change and laying hold of that future. Is he talks about blind spots. Blind spots. One of the things that stands in the way of you being able to lay hold of future is your blind spots. And your blind spots come from your past experience, the things that you're familiar with that blind you to possibility that is surrounding you that will help you step into that future that God's declared. We've got blind spots that we need to be aware of. And if you can't see them, I guarantee you your wife can see them. I guarantee you your pastor can see them. You might want to go ask them. Honey, do I got any blind spots? Don't say anything. Honey, do I got blind spots or whatever? Pastor, do I got blind spots, etc.? And they'll be able to tell you, oh, yeah, you do. Let me show you what it is. And I realize now my talking has got a little long because I got to get to some prophecy. Okay. I apologize. Okay. So anyway, I just find it fascinating that you actually have in the secular world people talking about this whole issue about learning how to step out of the old to step into the new.
Amen.
And there's all these things out there. So even the secular world recognizes the fact that we've got to learn how to embrace things that that are declared for the future so that we can improve, so we can grow, so we can increase, etc. So, amen. Okay, so go to the next slide because it talks about some activation. So this is what I want to do. I want you to gather up in groups of three, okay, where you're at right now. And I want you to share with one another about prophetic words that you know are out there about yourself that God has said. You know, this is what you're supposed to do. And I want you to share with one another a little bit about that. Just take a couple minutes. And then I want you to begin to pray for one another that God would give you breakthrough. Because some of you are stuck in that invitation part where you don't know, you know, that you've been called to things. You don't recognize it. You don't recognize the test that you're going through. And that's really just a test. It's not because God is displeased with you. By the way, challenge does not mean that he's forsaken you.
Yeah, that's right.
Challenge does not mean that. Challenge just might be that he's making an adjustment in your life, okay? So I want you to just do that for just a few minutes. So where you're at, just gather up in twos or threes.